He said, explain to your people that every woman needs a husband. Every woman needs a husband. But not every man needs a wife. Now I got to explain that one, don't I? Every woman needs a husband. But not every man needs a wife. The Bible says that he who finds a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. It doesn't say she who finds a husband obtains a good thing or has found a good thing. Because when a woman is born into the world, she is supposed to have a husband. Her first husband is supposed to be her father. This is a man who, like Adam, has an assignment and a domain that God has given him that he is the master over. And a woman wakes up in that environment. His responsibility to that woman is her care, her protection, her provision, her direction, and her instruction. Because woman woke up in the domain of a man who had already been walking in his assignment and in his dominion. And every man who has a child brings into his domain a woman, if he has a daughter, into his husbandry. The word husband, don't think marriage, because the term husband isn't just a marital term. We apply it to marriage, but the role of the husband is not exclusive to a married man. It's the responsibility of any man who has a woman under his domain. But for a man to get a wife, he must first be as Adam was in the garden. See, it's automatic for a woman. Let me rephrase that. In the kingdom of God, it's supposed to be automatic for a woman when she first takes her first breath in the earth to be under the care, protection, provision, nurturing, and instruction of a man. We're not supposed to be having children outside of that environment. We do because sin is in the earth, but I'm talking about the kingdom of God. So every woman, when she wakes up, has a husband or is supposed to. Don't think marriage. Think role and responsibility. Her first husband should be her father. If she doesn't have a father in her life, there should be a man who assumes the responsibility of being a father until such a time as she matures into a wife. Then a man who has earned the right to a wife may claim her as his wife. Because it's not automatic for a man. He has to work for it. He has to earn it. He has to develop in his assignment and in his domain. And then he can qualify for God to bring him a wife. The woman should always have a husband from birth. Not the man she's married to, but whoever, because she can be single and have a man in the position that her husband will assume when she is no longer single. Does everybody understand that? If you don't understand that, raise your hand. I'll answer your questions. This is hot off the press, man. I celebrated my 8th wedding anniversary yesterday with my lovely wife. And thank you. And I did her dirty, because I made her think I was working all night yesterday. And I told her, I said, babe, we'll do something later. I said, I got to work. I said, so she did her best to be understanding and to be cordial and nice. But I knew, and I had planned the whole thing out. So I left for work. I didn't even make her breakfast. I didn't give her any cards. I didn't give her any flowers. I got up, acted like it was a normal day. I said, I love you and happy anniversary, but that's all I did. She didn't get a special breakfast. She didn't get any cards. She gave me a card first thing in the morning. I woke up, she handed me a card. I didn't have any cards to give her. I didn't have any flowers to give her, nothing. I said, oh, thank you, baby. I love you. Happy anniversary. Gotta go to work. Oh, she smiled and nodded, but there was nothing behind that. But malice, anger, nah. What she didn't know was I had already made reservations for dinner, and I wasn't at work. I went in for about an hour so that she could verify that I was at work. Then I left, and I went and I got. So she messed up my plans because she was supposed to go somewhere first thing in the morning so I could run to the car and get all the cards and flowers that I had in the car. But she stayed home. She slept in. So I had to reorganize everything that first part of the day because I planned up something for all day. She didn't know any of this. So I played it off real good. She felt so bad. And I'm just laughing on the inside because I know I'm a hitter with this. So what I did is I waited for her to finally get up and go run her errands. And while she was gone, I ran down to the truck, got two bundles of flowers and all these cards. I sat them on the couch in the living room, and then I went to work. Stayed at work for about an hour, left work, went to the bakery, got her favorite cake because she loves lemon cake, and got her a slice of her favorite cake. And then I strategically, because I was looking over my shoulder the whole time because I didn't want her to see me in the street. And I didn't know where she was. To make herself feel better, because she thought I had forgot our anniversary, even though I never have. She thought I had forgotten our anniversary, so to make herself feel better, she took herself shopping, which is what she does. But I didn't know where she was, so I had to be careful not to cross paths with her. Then, in the afternoon, early evening, when I would have been at work, I left little notes all over the house for her, just little clues. And finally, when she got home after her shopping therapy and saw this bundle on the couch, she texted me, which meant that we were friends again. But she didn't know what else I had planned. So I told her, I said, follow the notes I left around the house. I left a note in the refrigerator, which said, stay hungry. Because I didn't want her to make herself anything to eat because I had made dinner reservations. So one note said, stay hungry. One note was hanging on her closet door. It said, pick out something nice. I didn't use those words, but that's none of your business. I just left little notes, clues of what I had planned for. Finally, she texted me, what are we doing? What are you doing? I said, you have 30 minutes to get ready. Now, that's a nightmare for most women. I gave her 30 minutes. I said, a package may arrive at the front door, and I need you to get it off the front step. So she got ready, and then exactly 30 minutes later, the doorbell rang, and it was me in a tie with her cake and a big old smile on my face. She did not smile back, but she smiled on the inside. She was so upset that I had her running around all day mad at me for no reason. But then I took her to a very nice restaurant. I want to give a special shout out to Brother Kenny. I didn't know he was going to be there, but he saw us. I had made reservations, but put him on the spot because I love him. He's a chef at Cork and Bull in Summit Point, and they are delicious. And we've been wanting to go, so I made reservations for us. They got a tomahawk steak there that's the size of the whole table. $185 steak. I was this close, but I said, ain't no way I'm getting through this. And I know she ain't gonna help me with it, but everything we had was absolutely delicious. So if you wanna have a nice dinner somewhere, I recommend you go there. And if Brother Kenny happens to be working there, show your love to the kitchen. The dinner was immaculate. So we had a great night, long story short. But I did her kind of dirty because I made her think I forgot her anniversary, even though in 8 years, I've never forgotten anything. Not a birthday, not an anniversary, but for some reason, I have to keep reproving this every year for some reason. She'll wake up mad if I don't hand her a card. Like, Oops. But I started it. See, I spoiled her. So now I can't go backwards. But that's all right, because that's my job. That's my job. I learn from the best. Take care of your women. But anyway, every man does not deserve a wife, but every woman has a husband or should have a husband from the moment she opens her eyes. Because when Eve woke up, God presented her to a man where all his stuff was together. And what the world has done two very dangerous and horrible things. First thing it did was it turned husbands and wives into just men and women. And you got men acting like they deserve a woman because they're a man. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. Trying to have authority over a woman just as a man. And you won't find that in the Bible. A husband is a title. You develop into it, you earn it. A husband can get a wife. Woman and wife aren't the same thing. You have to be a woman to be a wife. I don't care what they tell you on TV. But you can be a woman and not be a wife. You can be a married woman and not be a wife. But if you are a wife, you can have a husband. If you are not a wife, but a woman, just a woman, you should have a husband. But not somebody else's husband. The husband you were born with, that's your father. If you don't have your father in your life, you need a father, a man, to assume that role. And what a lot of lonely women have done is they've married a guy to replace their father who's not a husband. So they don't know how to be a wife to him. See, I learned how to be a husband from my father. He taught me how to be a husband. I learned how a wife is by my mother. I learned husband and wife when I was neither. So all I had to do was grow into a man like him. Then I could qualify for a wife. But that was work on my part. Because my wife belonged to her father. And he took care of her. And he provided for her. And he protected her. And he gave her instruction and guidance and comfort. Because he was the husband while she was single and unmarried. She's never been unhusbanded. The husbandry just transferred from him to me. So everything he was doing for her, I have to do. And everything he was responsible for, I have to be responsible for. Because that's how a woman's experience is supposed to be. Because God did not bring the woman into the world without a man ready to be her husband. But he brought the man into the world without a wife and gave him work to do. Then said, it's not good that he be without a wife. So I will give him the wife I made for him. If you are a single man, you must become a husband before you look for a wife. If you are a single woman, you must find a husband, or I should say, submit to a husband before you try to get married. Because if you're an independent woman, don't need no man, don't marry a man. Don't marry somebody you don't need. Because you're going to put pressure on them, but not submit to them. And that's not fair. And if you are a man who has assumed the position of a husband, and your wife is not happy, it's your fault. And it's your responsibility. Maybe her unhappiness is unfounded. It could be a demonic attack. Still your responsibility. I'm not saying that you did anything wrong, but you might be failing in your duty as a husband. Sometimes my wife got an attitude and I ain't did anything wrong. You know what I have to do? I have to go into the spirit and discover what spirit is attacking my wife. Because it's still my responsibility. Everything that passes through that door, be it seen or unseen, is my responsibility. She has a responsibility to God to guard her heart and be a good Christian. But I have a responsibility to her. I have a responsibility to God and to her. And I assumed that before I married her. So when I married her, it was not a rough transition. She didn't bring any unnecessary drama into my life, thank God for that. But even if she had, I picked her. I can't complain. If I didn't know how to choose, that's on me. Some of you are complaining about your spouses like you didn't marry them. Some of you are complaining about your marriage like you didn't choose it. Like you just woke up and there they were. You made a choice. Now honor your choice and do your job. Or leave them alone. I don't advocate for a divorce. I advocate for kingdom of God. And I'm speaking primarily to the men more than the women. Because we got a lot of boys who've married women who want them to be wives, but they're not husbands yet. You're not a husband because you pay the bills. You're supposed to do that. That doesn't make you a husband. You're not a husband because you beat up guys that look at her. Sometimes that's just a sign of insecurity. Yeah, as long as they don't put their hands on her, I don't put my hands on them. But, guys going to look. My wife is beautiful. We go to the gym. She look good. I can't stop every guy from looking at her. Just don't say nothing. Just don't put your hands on her. We cool. I look at her. We in public. That's what we do. But that doesn't make me a husband. Being overly aggressive, fixing the washing machine don't make you a husband. You can hire a handyman to do that. What makes a man a husband is the wholeness of his wife. What makes a man a husband, his wife will tell him, you are my husband. I feel husbanded when I'm with you. And that's a testimony that only a wife can give. And men, you got to ask your wife. I ask my wife every anniversary, honey, how am I doing? You had one more year with me. How am I doing? Critique my performance as your husband. What do you need that you don't have? What do you want? Where do you need me to put you in the next 12 months? This is a conversation I have with my wife every anniversary because I'm her husband. And you got to check your wife, men. You can't just assume because she smiles that she's happy. You can't just assume because she's still cooking the meals that she loves you. She might love you, but not be happy with you. And if she's not happy with you, find out why not. And if she says, baby, I'm good, double down on whatever you're doing and do more. Because she might be good today, but 10 years is coming. And if you stay in the same spot because you figure you done mastered it, she's going to outgrow you. When a husband tends to his crops, he prepares for the crop to grow, not to stay at the same level. If you got a wife that's smart and studious and wants to go out and conquer the world, clear the path for her. You don't get to be a regular guy. You can be a regular guy, but you got to be a path clearer for her. Because sometimes we have different personality dynamics. Maybe you're okay. You might be fine where you are. You're doing all right. Y'all not hurting. Y'all not struggling. But she wants more. And maybe you don't know how to give her what she's asking for, but you can clear the path. You can remove the stress if you listen, if you communicate. And if you're an ambitious man who wants to conquer the world, don't get so focused on that you leave your wife in the dust. Because you'll conquer every world but your own. Because she should be your world. You gotta learn your dynamic. Some of you are struggling in your marriage because y'all don't know your dynamic. You resent each other because you have different personalities. You're supposed to have different personalities, but you're supposed to have the same heart. My wife and I have different personalities. But if she wants to build something, I have to clear the path. She wanted to start her own business, but she was working. There's only so many hours in a day. And there was a season where both had to work. I told her, I said, look, baby, you ain't gonna have to work for too much longer. If I gotta get three of them, you ain't gonna have any of them. Not because I don't like her working. I told her, I said, man, you can work, you can do whatever you want. I ain't one of those guys. Wife should be home, but in the kitchen. I'm not one of those guys. A wife should be wherever her and her husband agree she should be. That's where she should be. Wherever they agree she should be, that's where she should be. She wants to build something. So I have to make it so she can put all her energy into building it. We agree. If I say, baby, look, I can't husband that right now. I have to give her a date. You know that? I don't know why I'm teaching on this. This is not in my notes. It's what the Lord's been saying to me all week. You have to give her a date. Women need deadlines, men. I'm not happy with the performance of our brothers. I love y'all. But I'm not seeing the manhood that our father taught us. I'm not happy. I love y'all. All y'all are good men. Y'all are good men on the camera. Y'all are good men. But you could do a better job. Your wife should be the happiest woman on earth because she's married to you. She's going to have her moods. She ain't going to always be right about stuff. My wife isn't always right about stuff. And I love it when she's not because I get to tell her, you ain't right about this one. But she ain't going nowhere. I ain't worried about it. And she's out of my league. I don't think I could pull two of her. She went somewhere. I don't think I can get another one. I mean, I'm all right. We look alike, sisters. Don't talk too loud. We look the most alike. But I don't think I can pull another one of her. So I got to be real careful with this one. They don't come around too often. Nobody speaks more highly of her than I do. I compete with Jesus for that. I said, Lord, what you saying about my wife today? He told me what he's saying about her. I said, I'm going to go tell him. Y'all think I'm joking. It's serious business. Because who a man marries affects everything about his life. If your wife is happy, it's a good sign. She'll support you in ways you're not even aware. That's right. That woman will let me fail a million times so that I can succeed once. Because I don't fail her. If I tell her I'm going to do something, I do it. If I tell her I'm going to do it in the future, I'm going to give her a time. I'm going to say, look, you give me 1 year. Give me 2 years. Because women need dates. Most men don't realize that. Women need deadlines. Because they're vision incubators. And the more you give them, the more they can incubate. If you just say, one day we're going to have this, that can be true, but it's not good enough. If you tell her, in 2 years, I'm going to give you one of them. In 2 years, we're going to have one of those. That's going to focus you. And it's going to focus her. And sometimes it's a little scary for a man to say that when he's not used to accomplishing things. Sometimes it's a little scary. But fear don't come from God. Faith does. And what you as a man have to do, because you have a wife. I'm talking to the married men. You have a wife. You have somebody's daughter. Maybe her daddy was raggedy and didn't treat her right. Okay, but she's yours now. So whatever damage her daddy did, you can't continue. And you have to recognize when she might be reacting to something that was done to her before she met you. But you got to be bigger than that. You can't just be bigger than your past. You got to be bigger than her past. You got to be bigger than her trauma. Because she might not do that thing you like because she got a trauma. And you got to be bigger than that. You can't be a spoiled child with a long list of requirements for her to make you happy. Sometimes you got to deal with what she's not bringing to the table for a season because she's going through a healing process. And when she trusts that you have her best interest at heart, she'll open up.
That's right.
And that might take years. But when you're in it forever, you don't care how long it takes.
That's right.
Me and my wife got married. We made a decision. There is no such thing as divorce. There is no such thing. Man, let me tell you something. I guess this is my message. But I do what the Lord tells me to do. He said, this is what I want you to open up with. And he ain't told me to close yet, so here I go. You're married to your arms. If I walk up and stab you in your arm, it hurts. It bleeds, gets all over everything, and it's very painful. You know what you ain't trying to do? Cut that arm off. You're trying to patch that arm up because you like your arm. You're married to your arm. It's a part of your body. It can be hurt. It can be bruised. It can be beat up. It can be stabbed, cut up, set on fire. But when you go to the hospital, the first question you're going to ask the doctor is, can you save it? How can we keep it? You don't go, well, it's just an arm. I got two of them. Go in and chop it off. Because that's what marriage feels like. That's what marriage looks like. This is a part of me I don't ever want to be without. I can't chop it off when it gets too uncomfortable or too inconvenient. I have to do everything within my power. And when I reach the edge of my power, I God's power. I have to do everything within his power to keep this part of me alive and well. That's marriage. He wasn't lying when he said two become one. That's not metaphor. I can't cut you in half and you be okay with which half you don't like no more. That thing can hurt. It can bleed. It can be broken. But you ain't trying to get rid of it. You're trying to hang on to it. That's my view of marriage. So there's nothing my wife can be broken in that I'm not trying to save her. It's got nothing to do with how uncomfortable it makes me. Because she's a part of me. And I like all my parts. Me and my parts are cool. So if there's no divorce, possible. Anything we face, we got to find a solution. Because there is no situation where this is over. There's nothing that ends this except death. And even then, one of us is at the gate waiting. And you better not come up here with somebody else. No, I'm just kidding. Because one of y'all got to go somewhere else. There ain't no somebody else. There is no divorce. It's not a possibility. So therefore, it's never on the table. And if you take it off the table and you look at what you have to work with, you find all kinds of solutions. Most of them will be simple. Grow up. Grow up. Now, I'm going to talk to the men. I guess I have been for a while. But here I go. Gentlemen, brethren, grow up. You're good men, but somewhere you didn't finish your man training. And you're abusing the love of your wife and her desire to be a good wife. You're abusing it because you won't grow up. You're taking too long. There's time limits on things. You could take too long and lose a part of her and not even realize it. You can take too long to accomplish certain things. I ain't trying to put nobody under no pressure, but I am trying to put a little pressure on you. Because a little pressure is good for your growth. Don't assume that your wife is happy where you are. And when I say happy, I don't mean that she's nagging you because you're not worth nothing. If you got a good woman, you got a good wife, she might be pushing you because you are worth something. Amen. And we as men have a tendency to come below our potential. Amen. Most women with anything in them will try to reach beyond their potential. That's how they get into trouble. But most men, we fly under the radar because we can be satisfied with less than what we really attain. Most of us aren't anywhere close to what we can do.
Come on now.
But we get a car or two and a comfortable living situation, and a good job, and we straight. And then you marry a woman with something in there. And you chain her down to your low ambition and then complain because she's never really happy. And you can't figure out why. Not realizing that all that greatness that's in her was what made you attracted to her in the first place. And you're the guy stifling it. And you might not be doing it on purpose. Most of the time, we don't mean to do it. We're not always that smart. You're not trying to hold her back. You're just good. And it ain't got to be a great, you ain't got to climb Mount Everest. But I believe this, and this is true. I'm not just going to say I believe it. I believe it because it's true, but it's true. You got to accomplish something every year. It don't have to be major, but it's got to be something that has some meaning to it. Maybe you didn't finish school. Get your GED. It don't take long. Maybe you never went to college. Go to community college. Don't get stuck because you managed to eke out a living. You got a wife that needs a man with an assignment and a domain. Because she was born for that. And maybe her father let her down. So she spent too much time unhusbanded. You know what happens? Women, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not calling you a weed. It's just a good analogy. You know what happens to a garden that's left unhusbanded? It grows wild. And it gets hard to control. And a lot of times, an unhusbanded woman, because her father didn't husband her, or she didn't have another strong man who cared about her, who was not romantically interested in her. He really just loved her as an overseer. Because she went unhusbanded, she just grew wild. And wild don't always mean in the streets. Wild don't always mean you're loose in the pants. Sometimes it does. But sometimes wild just means you work 3 jobs because you want a nice car. And you're stressed out. You're stressed out to the point where you can't function because you want things and you got to get them yourself because nobody else will provide for you. And you don't learn how to trust God because men are the masculine expression of God. And women are the feminine expression of God. And the masculine expression of God, that's the provider. That's the protector. That's the overseer. The part of God that supplies all your needs, that's the masculine expression of God. The part of God that comforts you when you're hurting, that's the feminine expression of God. And a lot of times, if a woman has spent too much time without a masculine expression of God, when she comes to God, she don't know how to work with him. Because he'll be telling her, you don't need 3 jobs. I'll provide for you. But nobody's provided for her before. So now that's tough. And because she can work, she will. And we built a whole culture out of that and then celebrated it. I got nothing against women working. It's not about women having a job. Be a CEO if you want to. But trust God for it. Because when a woman develops trust, the ability to trust the masculine, she is fulfilled. When a man learns to trust the feminine, he becomes fulfilled. Because the opposite side of a man that grows wild is he becomes a gigolo. He becomes a guy who does not respect women. He becomes a guy who sees women as lesser than him. Even if he's paying the bills, he's got his foot on her neck because he's paying the bills. I work. So therefore, but if he didn't have her, he'd still have to work because he eats the food. You can't lord that over your wife. How dare you? I don't lord the responsibility God gave me over my wife. I don't lord that over her. And she's good because of me. We ate good last night. And when we got the bill, I glanced at it briefly. I didn't stare at it long. It didn't matter. I had it. And I'm always have it. And if she's asking for something I don't have at that moment, I will get it. I will get it. But I can't lord that over her. I can't say, hey, I'll go out and work so you don't have to. Therefore, you are my slave. Now, she serves in certain capacities because she has the heart of a wife. But if the servitude I require cost her her happiness, it's my job to solve that problem. I can't say, look, I don't care if you ain't happy. I'm feeding you. No. A man would never say that. A boy would say that. A child would say that. And you got some big children. Because children play quid pro quo. Something for something. I do this, you do that. That's how children think. That's not how men think. Men think, I'm a man. My primary responsibility is to God first and to be like God at all times. So how is God? When we do God dirty, he provides for us. When we do him good, he provides for us. When we don't come to church for a month, he protects us. When we show up for every service, he protects us. When we talk trash about him, he loves us. When we sing praises to him, he loves us. God is consistent. He is not affected by your behavior. You are affected by your behavior. And the devil tells you God is mad at you, but he's not. Because he is unchanging. And a man is supposed to be unchanging. He is supposed to plant his heels in his responsibility as a man and never change. And it does not matter how his wife behaves. Now, women, that don't mean you can act any kind of way, because just like how you treat God has a negative or positive effect on you, how you treat your husband has a negative or positive effect on you. You can't just go, well, since you can't change, I'm gonna act like a fool. You can't do that. Because you also have a responsibility to God. But there's a boyhood in the men that has to be removed. We have to grow up. Nobody knows my wife better than me. Her best friend is me. Her best friend, well, her best friend is the Lord. Her best friend is me. And then she got some girlfriends. And nobody knows her better than me, except the Lord. And he tells me a lot of stuff. We talk, because we happen to be friends too. And I've told you this before, and I say it again. My responsibility to her is spiritual just as much as it is natural. Nobody outprays me in my house. Nobody. And if you got kids, man, let me tell you something. And you can take this, well, you can't take it or leave it. You got to take it, because it's the truth. But you can say, you can let the devil tell you he don't have no children, he don't understand. Let me tell you something. Time is of the essence when you have children, because they grow fast. And Dad taught us a long time ago, he said, you can't let your kids catch up to you. Because the second they catch up to you, you can't be the parents no more. So you got to always be growing. You're not competing against them. Let them go as far and as fast as they can go. But you be going somewhere. You be building something. Because they're going to hit a moment where they need to learn something that you can only teach from experience. And you can break the Bible out, and everything in this word is true. But there's moments in their life where this ain't going to do it for them. They got to see it in you. So if you're taking too long to get yours, you're taking too long to grow up in the stuff this book has been trying to get you to grow up in. Don't get mad at your kids for losing their patience with you. I lose patience with you too. Because time is of the essence when you have children. They're looking to be led to greatness. There was a time when you could tell them anything and they just, okay. But they get a little age on them. They start smelling themselves a little bit. Get a little hair in places. And suddenly, they don't want to hear you no more. Because they look more like you in the natural. And they kind of your height. And they kind of smell like you now. So now we kind of equal. They're wrong, but they're children. But then you've been working the same job 25 years, you ain't got not one promotion. And they going into their first job and they making close to the same money you making. Well, financially, they're starting to look alike too. You want to make me do something? You want to talk to me like you my daddy or my mama? Well, I make money too. Then they get on their own. I'm grown now. Because you stopped and they caught up. Now you lose your influence. Now you got to let somebody else have influence over them. Somebody that's somewhere they want to be. Because they spent enough time with you and you didn't take them anywhere. You got to build something. You got to always be building something. God told the man to be fruitful and multiply. And he never said to do anything else. He didn't say be fruitful and multiply up to there and then you can retire. Everybody God used, he used them until they died. Name one person in the Bible that God used that retired. When God gives you an assignment, it's for life. You do it until you die or until you get raptured out of here. Most of you don't know what your God-given assignment is. You know what your job is because you need to eat and you feel like you got to feed yourself even though God never told you that either. Then you start a family around what you can do. And because you have limits, your family's limited to you. And you don't go to the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't hit my limit, but you are limitless. So how do we break through this, you and I? Because once you and I break through this, they're going to see me break through it. And I want my children to see me break through this limit. Maybe I didn't have my father, so there's some stuff I don't know, but you are my father. So teach me the stuff I don't know. And I'll do it as if I was a kid. Because my kid is watching. And I don't get to chill when my children are watching. I don't get to take that time off. Because they're gonna have a question. And I'm going to pull my Bible out. And they're going to go, I got a Bible, Daddy. That don't mean nothing to me. What did you do when you got here? Well, I just, I don't work. You can't be like that. And yeah, I'm fussing a little bit to the men. Maybe I'll fuss at the ladies later. I don't know. The Lord didn't say nothing to me about y'all. Don't take that the wrong way. He just didn't say nothing. Maybe Pastor Anna come up here and say something to you. I don't know. But I know this. The men of rapture have to be men all the time. We have to be spiritual men. We have to be spiritual leaders in our homes. Nobody prays louder than me in my home. We go out to dinner. If I'm praying over the food, they're going to hear me praying over the food. You ain't got to be eloquent. You ain't got to be good with words. You just got to be practiced. I pray a lot. Anything you do a lot, you get good at. My wife can pray. She's good at it. But I do it more. Not because she's not spiritual. Wherever she's at, I have to be her husband. So if she's a twig, I got to build a hedge around that twig so it can grow. If she's an oak tree, I got to build a forest around that oak tree. It's not competition. It's covering. It's not holding her back because I'm going at this speed. It's whatever speed you're going at, baby, I'll be there when you get there. Well, baby, I finished college and you didn't. Well, you don't need college to prosper. You need God to prosper. I can be I can have a PhD in this. Amen. Everything in here is true. 90% of what I teach you in college is a lie anyway. But if that's the differential between us, I'm going to master the assignment God gave me. Yeah. If that sends me to school, I'm going to go to school. If it don't, I'm going to go wherever it does send me. Because look, when I'm cashing them checks, don't nobody care. The bank don't go, oh, you don't have a degree. We can't cash this check, sir. The banks don't care. The banks will take a check from a guy with a third grade education just as fast as they will a PhD. You are putting a limit on yourself because of your past. And you're putting whatever limit you put on yourself as the husband, that's the limit your garden can grow before it grows wild. And some of you are getting to a point where your garden getting ready to grow wild because you've stopped. They didn't. And if you have a good wife, the worst thing you can do is look backwards and feel like you didn't get a real shot. It's to look backwards and feel like, man, I love my husband. We have so many good times together, but he never really let me do this. You don't want your wife to have that testimony. You don't want your wife to have that testimony of you. You don't think it matters now because you're young. But 50 is coming. 60 is coming. I had a conversation with myself today, sitting in the gym parking lot. I had some of the best conversations with myself in the gym parking lot. I said, look, I said 20-year-old me didn't know who I am today. He did him dirty because he was just having a good time. He was eating everything in the fridge, and he won't gain in a pound. He won't exercise. He could just run all day, so he thought he was good. He was living for himself. He wasn't living for me. But he's not here now. He had his fun and disappeared. And I'm left holding his bag. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm left holding what 20-year-old me did to me. Because he didn't know that this was coming. I said, but I know 50 coming. I said, I can create the 50-year-old I want to be. Because it ain't but two choices for everybody in this earth. You're going to die, or 50's coming. If 50's already come for you, whatever age is coming, it's coming if you live. And since I'm not dying, 50's coming. So what would I like 50 to look like? I can't fix 20-year-old me. He's been gone for a while. But 50-year-old me, we got a chance. He got a chance. So how healthy do I want him to be? How rich do I want him to be? How happy do I want him to be? See, everything I'm doing now, I'm not doing for me. I'm doing for him. Because when I get to him, I won't be there. He'll be the only guy there. And he'll have to put up with whatever I left. So I can choose to leave him a legacy. Because that's how men think. We're always 10 or more years in the future. Just like God. So men, brethren, listen to me. You know the stuff you need to grow up in. I'm out of time. You know the things you have to grow up in. And if you don't know, ask me. I'll tell you. You sit down and talk to me for an hour. We'll figure out everything you ain't grown up in. Because maybe you don't know. Maybe nobody told you. I promise you, your wife didn't mention it to you. Yeah. Most of the time, if she didn't be with you long enough, she done told you a few things. Dedicate yourself not to the guy you are today, but to the guy you'll be in 10 years. Amen. And make your wife a promise. Look, baby, you're going to love me in 10 years. You 10 years from now, you ain't going to know how to act. Her husband finna have some abs. She ain't gonna know how to act. Because I'm working for him every day. And every time I don't eat the cake, now I had cake last night because I bought her cake. If I buy her cake, I gotta have some cake. That's just how this works. We're one, that's marriage. But every time I don't eat some cake, I'm doing that for him. Because he gonna be here and I ain't gonna be there to help him. So I gotta help him now. Come on, men, we can do this. This church will grow when the men grow up. Yes. And when the men grow up, you're going to build a garden your wife can grow into. Amen. Then some of that stuff you've been wanting her to do, that she's been giving you a hard time about, she'll be happy to do it. Because she loves you. And I love you. And God loves you. Well, that's that.
Glory to God.
Receive it. Amen.